بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There's a hadith that appears in Bukhari Sharif. A person plants a tree and then it begins to bear fruit. Whatever else, grains, mealies, whatever else. And if any person eats from it, or an animal eats from it, a bird eats from it, then he is credited with sawab. Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi says under this hadith that service to humanity or service to the creation of Allah Ta'ala is such a desirable act that even though a person doesn't intend the sawab, then to his credited. You planted the tree, obviously you didn't have the intention that birds must come and eat from the tree, right? But they came and ate from the tree, or there were other animals that came and ate. In Spingo Beach is not difficult to understand that, right? So you didn't have intentions for them to eat, but even if they eat from it, you are getting the reward for it. So Allah Ta'ala loves this showing compassion and love to the creation, no matter what it may be. But the fact that you are showing some type of generosity, compassion, love to His creation, Allah Ta'ala loves it. In the course of the week, someone came and asked, I have got other duties, you know. I have to teach in a madrasa. Then I have to do my own ibadat. Now, how must I cope with the khidmat and the service of my parents? Because by and large, my wife and my children will also want to go out. Sometimes you have to go out for umrah. And then I've got aged parents. Now how do I balance the both? Then I want to do my own ibadat. And then the taqazas come up. They're old now, they're aged. So as they age and they're old, so their taqazas are unpredictable. Today this is a problem, tomorrow that's a problem. The following day there's another problem. So the taqazas and the service that they require of me is unpredictable. I don't know what service they need at which time. So how do I balance the both? So I explained, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deen is not fulfilling of our own aspirations. We feel, I've got an aspiration to do something, and that is deen. Who doesn't like to go for umrah? Which Musliman will you find whose heart is not stuck in the Kaaba Sharif and in Medina Munawwara? Every Muslim's heart is stuck there. It's inseparable. For some reason, physically you move away, but your heart is stuck there. You cry and leave the place. So your heart is stuck there, but for certain reasons, physically you move away from these places. So there isn't a believer whose heart and mind is not stuck in these places. The deen is to fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. The need of the time is deen. What Allah Ta'ala wants us to do at that time, that is called deen. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu's hadith is quite popular. Rasulullah SAW tells him already, he is dispatching him to Yemen, and he tells him in advance that you will come by this way and you will come by my grave. So he's telling him by way of inference that you won't see me alive again. This is the last mulaqat. Now, who won't want to be near Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time? The last moments, who won't want to be there? He's been already told in advance that you will come by my grave. So Muaz radiallahu anhu can't contain himself and he's weeping. So Rasulullah is showing us a secret. Awla an-nas bi al-muttaqoon. You want to be close to me, then that closeness is based on taqwa. It's not your own aspiration. Your own aspiration and your own desire is to be with me. But really, if you do want my closeness, then it's not there. It's in taqwa. And taqwa is what is the need of the time. What does Allah Pak want you to do at that moment to do that? That's taqwa. You walked out of the masjid, Allah Pak wanted you to close your eyes, you closed your eyes. You didn't open your eyes. Or to lower your gaze, you lowered your gaze. He wanted you to not listen to that blaring music. So you pressed your hands into the ears and you stopped the music entering to your heart. Sometimes we think, well, I didn't put on the music and it's someone else. So it's not of my own choice. Then it won't affect me. It will affect you. If you pay attention to it, it will affect you. The athar of it is not shown immediately, but it grows with time. Then you think to yourself, now, hey, why are my spirits dampened? I don't see the motivation towards deen. That athar took time to grow. The effect took time to grow. Now when you see that growing, now then do you realize that what I did some times ago, I didn't switch on the music myself, but someone else has got it on. But my heart was desirous towards it. I took a keen interest in that. And the seed of that nifaq and hypocrisy had gone into my heart. Today it's come up into a tree. Now I can see the effect, the thorns that are there. The dirt that is there, the fool that is there, the block that came between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is there. I couldn't see it then, I'm seeing it now. So we can't escape from this saying, well, I didn't switch it on. It's not my problem, it's someone else's problem. Like we hear about the gas in the nuclear plant in Japan. You cannot say now it's someone else's mistake. I can't bear the brunt of it. It won't affect you. My mind just is moving on. And like I say, deen is to say the urge of the time, the need of the time. So though I had thought of starting off on one topic, but now my mind is gone on something else. These events that are taking place, then you have mixed responses, even from the ranks of the Muslims, you get mixed responses. Some Muslims even go to say, alright, one is not a statement of disbelief, but really a statement that is very hurtful. Someone that is fond of surfing and all that, and he says, hey, I wonder what it will be like surfing on waves that are 10 meters tall. Now that's a height of the heart being hard. When we see the ayat of Allah Ta'ala, signs of Allah Ta'ala, then the immediate response must be, you become gripped with fear. Allah Pak is doing this, what do we do? Something went wrong somewhere. Let us not get into the bad books. Let us just correct ourselves quickly. That's the right way, that's the positive way. Don't you see that if in the class the teacher is disciplining someone, then the right response for the rest of the class was to become apprehensive, become cautious, become careful. But if one child is taking snaps of that, the child is getting beaten up and he's taking snaps and he's cheering, entertaining himself, hey, see this thing, what's happened and how it happened and all that. See? So the teacher will become even more provoked. He says, I'm disciplining someone here and this is the response that I'm receiving. That means they don't take me seriously. I am disciplining him and I expect that these people to take me seriously. And they aren't taking me seriously, they're taking it as an entertainment. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. When you are commanded that fear things that are before you and those that are behind you, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَخَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If you fear, you will be blessed with His mercy. Before you and behind you means, before you means things that are, the things are in this life, things that are present in this life, that means things that are before you, مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, and things that are to follow after this life. One is things that are within this life, within this earth, and things that are to follow, that refers to things that are coming in the next life. That means when you see these things happening, then you need to fear, you need to become apprehensive, you need to become cautious. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to become cautious. You want to be blessed with His mercy, then become cautious, become careful. At least show that I am afraid, O Allah Ta'ala, and do forgive me, forgive the Ummah, forgive us. Rather than making it an entertainment, and rather than entertaining ourselves, we become cautious about the situation. This is what happened here. Let we not get involved in the same problem. We need to see now what was the problem. What was the problem that brought about this type of end? So if we examine the problem, we understand, I see, this was the problem and this resulted in this type of end. So I don't need to get into that problem. When I look at it and I examine, and what's the problem there, or what's the problem generally overall everywhere, is that people have progressed in technology, right? They have progressed. They have reached the height of technology. And now, then they come to the conclusion, مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً, is there anybody that is mightier than me? You come to that position. No, you've got shock absorbers, and you've got this. And in less than 50 seconds, and everything failed. In less than 50 seconds. And I was listening to the report, less than 50 seconds, and whatever happened, the damage happened within 50 seconds. So Allah Ta'ala disproved all that height of technology just within 50 seconds. Less than 50, everything, Allah Ta'ala disproved it. Okay, this is nothing. In comparison to my power, this is nothing. إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ, things, situations that are before you, things that are to follow after you. If you want to be blessed by mercy, then you fear. But Allah Pak shows the response of that person that disregards مَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِدِينَ, that any sign is displayed before them, they just ignore it, they are disconcerned. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا آيَةً يَسْتَسْخِرُونَ, one is to show disconcern, and there is the other response of the unbeliever, إِذَا رَأَوْا آيَةً يَسْتَسْخِرُونَ, when they see these type of things, then they make it a thing of ridicule. So there are three responses. One is the one that entertains himself, right? The other is that person who is totally disregarding the situation, and the third is that person who makes it and turns it into a ridicule. Allah Ta'ala is speaking out against all these three classes. That is not to be made a ridicule. It's not a pastime. It's not an entertainment, right? You imagine to yourself, right, that so and so's father was killed or he was drowned, and people entertain themselves, oh, taking snaps at that, how his father died, the pictures and all that. Will that please you? At the cost of my father, and this person is doing this, what happens to you? Whereas you're not the creator, you're not the planner, you also feel so hurt. So here the creator is putting out certain situations, and we then make it a thing, an occasion to entertain ourselves. And can you imagine the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, the anger of Allah Ta'ala? So that is one, one type of response. The second response is, I'm talking of reports that I've heard, you know, Muslims, or whether Muslims are party to this type of discussion. It's a Muslim, or a Muslim is a participant to this type of discussion. So when you are a participant to a discussion, then you are a passive listener. You may not be active in doing the speech, but you are passive, you are there. So you are accepting that as well. So the second type of response is this. They say that this is not the act of God, this is the act of nature. Now I want to know, is there any creator besides Allah Ta'ala? Allah Pak asks us in the Quran, هَلْ مِنْ خَالِقٍ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ, Whatever I'm quoting from the ayah, from the Quran Sharif direct, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Is there any creator besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? So what the person is talking about, he is inferring that there was someone else besides Allah Ta'ala that did this. Who is nature? We ask ourselves, who is nature? What do you, when you refer to nature, then who do you refer to? In other words, do you refer to someone besides Allah Ta'ala? You say that it's not an act of God, it's an act of nature. Then what do you mean? This is like the Zoroastrian belief. It's a belief of the fire worshippers. Jahils, 5,000 years ago, fire worshippers, Persians, they believe like this. Yazda and Ahraman. Yazda refers to the creator of good, and Ahraman refers to the creator of evil. They believed in two creators. Right. So this is their belief. Now when we are making these type of statements, what we are really doing is we are subscribing to that belief. Now the statement may look very fascinating. No, it's not an act of God, it's an act of nature. But what you are implying, what's the conclusion, what you are telling? Is this something that you listen and you're just passing it on, or do you know what you're talking about? Then you get another response. The third response is, Na'uzubillah. See, these are all wrong statements. And I have to clear this up to clear the minds. So your belief is right. Belief is right, everything else is going right in the life. But the belief is corrupt, then what's the need of the action thereafter? So the third response is, but why did Allah have to do this, Na'uzubillah? On the one end we hear that He is most compassionate, then why did He have to do this? Why is this your world? This planet, does it belong to you? Do you run the affairs of this universe? You don't run the affairs of the universe. When you don't run the affairs of the universe, how can you question His authority? You can't. You don't have the right to do it. A little bit of strength Allah Ta'ala has given you, a little bit of choice Allah Ta'ala has given you, and then you become proud and haughty and arrogant. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Doesn't man look at his origin? You created from a despicable drop, and immediately Allah Ta'ala gives you existence, and you become proud and haughty. You become an adversary, an opponent, an opposition to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِن نُطْفَةٍ. What did He create you? What did He create you of? What's your end and what's your beginning? What's your creation? And then He's created you, He's given you a little bit of intelligence and understanding and reasoning. And then this is the response. That you become an adversary, you become an opposition, you begin to challenge Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Are you right in your brains? Do you think sometimes what was your origin? And what's going to be your end? And then you make this type of statements. How can you as a believer make these statements? So then you will have to answer a lot of questions. If you reason like this, then you have to answer a lot of questions. Then you have to say, why do people get sick, cancer, heart problems and all? Allah doesn't have mercy for them. What? Allah doesn't have compassion for them. So you have to make a lot of, you will have to give a lot of answers. Simple thing is, this is Allah Pak's affair. Assigned it to Him, He knows why He is doing it. I didn't create the system, and nor was I a party to the mashwara when Allah was deciding what to happen. So He didn't include me in the mashwara. Then why do I need to get involved in this? It's not my affair. Definitely exists wisdom in the work of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sometimes our minds perceive them, sometimes our minds cannot perceive the wisdom in the work of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, but there is definite wisdom in that. And the wisdom is not subject to our understanding. Sometimes you think the wisdom is subject to one. If there is wisdom, if it is reaching our wisdom and our understanding. And if it doesn't reach our wisdom and understanding and our reasoning, then there is no wisdom. Na'uzubillah. So your reasoning, what is it? A small little ant. What's the level of its reasoning? Or the ant comes and sees this, all these men come in crushing us all up. They got no mercy for us. And Allah, what Allah did for us, na'uzubillah. And then I ask you, you tramp away ants like this, right? It might be someone's daughter, someone's son. And you kill away mosquitoes like that and cockroaches. They may be the only children of their parents. They may be just hatched today. Or only today was the wedding, whatever else it was. And today you went and crushed them up. They're still on honeymoon. And you did this to them. Now you want reason like this, you will end up in stupidity. So you forget all that. Forget all that. You just see that's the system of Allah Ta'ala. I find it difficult, but Allah Pak knows why he's done all this. Because you are a creation, the cockroach is also a creation. You've got a right to live, they've got a right to live. You're no different. When you are no different, then why do you feel that nothing must happen to you only? You feel that you're an exclusive class, that's what you feel about yourself. Alright, then if you're an exclusive class, what is the exclusivity in your actions and deeds? So these things come about in a nation many a times because of pride, and many a times because of indecency. Now you go and look wherever these things happen, then it's two, or it's one of these two. It's either indecency, or it's either pride and arrogance. One of the two. Sometimes it's both, and sometimes one of the two. For the people that died, who was the creator? Allah Pak was the creator, right? So they died, and they died perhaps within seconds or within minutes they died. So that difficulty they had to go through was just a minute or something. If they were good, then it was a passage to Jannah, right? So that difficulty only lasted for a minute, 2 minutes, and after that they are in Jannah. Now you ask them, you want to reverse, you want to come in reverse, they don't want to come there. And if they were evil, then they deserve it. They deserve that punishment if they were evil. In fact, they deserve much more. It is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala that He had lightened the punishment. Whereas when we look at ourselves, Allah Pak says, لَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. That if Allah Ta'ala were only to punish us on account of our wrongs, then He wouldn't have left a single living creature. In other words, the world would be so filled with wrong that if He had to punish, the whole earth would be wiped out. But He still gives you respite, gives you a chance. Alright, He's done this, I give Him a respite, I give Him a chance, I give Him a second chance, then let Him try again. Maybe He'll make it right again. Just to give you a small little understanding, Musa alayhi salam, passed by some person in a very despicable condition, very, very despicable condition, no clothing, absolutely poor, nothing to cover his body, he's got the dust to cover himself. He turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah ta'ala, grant this person wealth, that he may come out of his poverty, at least his condition may improve. Anyway, Musa alayhi salam is the Kaleemullah, he made the dua, Allah ta'ala answered his dua. Few years later, Musa alayhi salam has to go that same end, and he sees a huge crowd of people. So when you see a huge crowd of people all looking at one end, then you also want to see what's going on. You have to now stand on someone else's shoulder and see what's going on. So Musa alayhi salam recognizes, this is the same person that is being crucified that I had seen in that condition, very dilapidated condition. Today I see him crucified. So Musa alayhi salam inquired, kya ho gaya, what happened? What happened to this person? So on inquiry, it came clear that this person became very wealthy. When he became very wealthy, he became haughty. Then he wasn't considerate about his limits and people. Then he began to murder, kill, loot, and do everything else. Right? And then eventually, fate had the better over him. So he has killed people and he's being killed. He's murdered and he's being killed now. So for that person, it was better for him to remain like that, in that condition. When he saw that wealth, then he couldn't balance it out. He couldn't moderate himself. He didn't know where to draw the line. Then he went up and up, killing, murdering, looting, Don't you see all this plundering happening? A few wealthier nations, they have got all the wealth, and they monopolize with all the wealth, and then they suck away the wealth from all the poor, leaving them in poverty, in famine. Don't we see all these things? Don't we hear about it? We know about it, we hear about it all the time. But because it doesn't affect us, therefore we don't talk against it. But it's happening all the time. And a few nations are enjoying, whereas there are hundreds and millions of people that are suffering. Look what's happening in these African countries, and who's looting the wealth. Who's looting the wealth? Who's suffering and who's enjoying? Don't you see this happening? Then we see the stick of Allah coming once, just one. And we say, no. But what happened to all these blacks, and all they were killed and all that? That didn't affect us at all. Because they are inferior class, so we don't get affected at all. How many hundreds and thousands are just being killed? Merciless, famine, drought, nothing to eat. And whose wealth? It's their wealth that they are being robbed of. They are being cheated of. We don't feel anything about them. But that one nation that is now a superpower, whatever it is, and we are so affected. So really the balance within us needs to be reviewed. That the balance within our minds and our hearts, is that correct or not correct? So this is the third response. People begin to question the authority of Allah Ta'ala, that why has He done this? Why you asking, why has He done this? So what you are saying exactly, that there is a great power above all this, right? He is controlling. So when you understand that there is a supreme creator that's above all this, that means He is calling people to account. He's got the ability to take people to task. So like He's got the ability to take other people to task, He's got the ability to take you to task as well. So have you got your records all cleared? Have you got all your records cleared that you worried about them? Now the hadith says, Motul Fujaati Akhdatul Asif. A sudden death is an indication of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person who is not faithful, for a person who is not loyal to Allah ta'ala, then for him a sudden death is a sign of anger, it's a sign of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a person that was faithful all his life, he was loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's a mercy. But the person that wasn't faithful, outright he is flagrant sinner, he is transgressing all the time, he is disconcerned about his loyalties with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for him it is a punishment. For him it is a sign of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally the believer, the faithful, he gets a lot of chance before his death. Generally, this is a general sequence of events, that before the death and before the end, he gets a warning, sickness, illness, weakness, operation, etc. Then you get into preparation. You get into preparation. Don't you see the airport? Now you are about to board the plane, so they tell you flight number so and so, must line up, get into preparation. So that is now the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now you get into the state of preparation because your time and your signal has come up. So you got a year, sometimes 2 years, and you're preparing. Get this done. Eventually, that inevitable thing has to come. So that is the believer. But the kafir, the person that was unfaithful, unloyal, then it comes a sudden stroke comes and he's gone. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali once looked within his people, that there wasn't any stranger, there was people just that were relating to him only. There weren't any strangers around. So he says to them, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I find myself in a position, if Malakul Maut were to come and tell me that the time is up, I would have said, no, you do your work, come straight away, I am ready for it. Allah Pak grant us that ability, that we are in that state of readiness. Especially in this day and time, I feel it's a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. With this cancer, heart attacks, etc. We don't ask for it. But really it's a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. When we look at it from a different perspective, then it's a mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Because when we get engrossed in wealth and whatever else, entertainment and wealth and whatever else, our comforts and luxuries, and as though there's no end to it. Now then we need a little bit of a stick one stick and then we come right, we come back onto the course. And you don't get the stick, we go on. 65, 70, 75, and we go on in that. We feel as though this comfort zone is not coming to an end. It's there and it's there forever. Now that is not a believer. A believer feels, well, there's an end to it. And I got a little bit of luxury, never mind, I'll come back onto the course. I went, made a mistake, Allah Ta'ala make me maaf, let me come back onto the course. He comes back again. He tries all the time. When Al-Mu'ad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah is relating this to his people there, he's not boastful. He's not boastful. And he's not out of pride that he's mentioning this. But he's telling us in the way of inference that, see, you consider me as your head, right? You consider me as your superior. And when you consider me as your superior, you want to follow in my tracks. You want to follow in my footsteps. So when you want to follow in my footsteps, then I have kept myself in this type of readiness. So you should also be in this type of readiness if you are my true followers. This is what he's telling you. He's not boasting about himself. Sometimes the mashayikh and buzurgan ad-din, they speak certain things about themselves, personal selves. It is not to boast. It is rather sometimes to show the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, that people don't become despondent and despaired. And sometimes it is to show us a precedent that, you see, I am going on this path here, and you should also follow in the same path. Lest we misread this buzurgan ad-din. To understand this buzurgan ad-din, then it's not the work of everybody. Now we are talking about this hadith that a person plants a tree, and any animal, beast, bird, human being, anybody eats of it, and you're getting sawab for it. Allah Pak likes this, really. Really Allah Pak likes this. And you want to avert, you want to move away problems, and this is one simple way. Just be kind, be compassionate, be generous. Allah Ta'ala has been loving towards you, you extend the love to others as well. In two ways. One is be tolerant. If something comes towards you against your tabiat, against your nature, then be tolerant. After all, Allah Ta'ala tolerated you as well. In a lot of things, Allah Ta'ala tolerated you. He could have smited you immediately when he saw the wrong in you. But he tolerated you. So like he tolerated you, you tolerate his servants. The second is be gracious. Like he's been ahsin kama ahsan Allah ilayk. He's given you opportunities, you grant other people opportunities. He's granted you love, you show other people love. He's shown you compassion, you show others compassion as well. In my little experience, I've seen that the one that is compassionate, merciful, tolerant, Allah Ta'ala blesses him in several ways. In one way that Allah Ta'ala blesses him, he dies a good death normally. If he's a believer and he's showing compassion, he's showing love, he's tolerant towards people, then generally he dies a good death. But he's got compassion, he's tolerant, people abuse him, people insult him, people speak against him. But he's never decreased his compassion, he never decreases his service for people. Whatever, whichever way we can serve people, make life easier for people, do it. We won't lose anything, right? We are sitting in a group, right? Just examples that I show students, you're sitting in a group, you're eating, right? We can see now someone needs water. I'll go and fetch the water. Can I do that much? Or we're sleeping in a room, right? Friends, and we can see there's a wind, and because of the wind now, the window is, the door is banging, or the window is banging. So, alright, no, let my other brothers be in comfort. Let me go and close the thing. I don't have to make an advertisement. I don't have to go and display this thing here. But let me just try and help these people out. Or for example, I go to a toilet, a public toilet, or even it's the home toilet, and it's not in the right state, let me go and clean it up. I won't tell anybody. I won't make an advertisement. At least the next person, my brother, my friend, or my children, etc., they will be comfortable in it. But now, do I need to make a story about everything? And who made this toilet filthy and whatever else? Do I need to pull the whole roof down? Where the child needs to be corrected, he must be corrected. But there's a way to do it. But does every occasion require of us to bring the roof down, to make a noise, to shout, and to become intolerable? Or do we become tolerable? It's alright, no, he did make a mistake, on another occasion I will correct him, but let me do this myself now. Or we come into the house, for example, right? after Fajr, it's a summer now. Fajr namaz going to 4:20. Right? She read a namaz perhaps at 4 o'clock or 4:15. She read a namaz and she went to sleep. And you come out of Fajr namaz, you thought the breakfast is ready, and she's fast asleep. Hey, you disappointed me now. Get out of your bed now. Come, at least make breakfast for me. Now, if you are deep in a sleep, you're tired, what would you have enjoyed? You would have enjoyed and appreciated someone else just allowed you to sleep that moment. Prepare your own tea. What does it cost you? Prepare the tea, make that toast, whatever else. And then you would have told at least, you know, whatever word you're using, right? At least come and join the tea with me. Now, she will feel so good about it. Mashallah, this person is so considerate. In fact, she'll feel a little bit awkward. Hey, why didn't you get me up? So, no, what's wrong if I did it today? You're doing all the years you're doing it. At least one day you give me that opportunity. Can't you give me that opportunity one day? Now, how delighted won't she feel? Ashiruhunna bil ma'ruf. Live with them, but live with goodness, with kindness. Allah Ta'ala has been kind with you. Can't you be sharing the kindness with His creation? That wife is not His creation. What? You know, she doesn't deserve that affection. So, this is one simple way. Or for example, now you're in a room now, and the wife can't stand the fan, or she can't stand the aircon, and you want the aircon, and you are boiling hot now. What do you do? You say, no, hey, this thing must go on. I can't sleep like this here. It's my house. Can I enjoy my own freedom, my own space and time, and air? Can I enjoy that? Say, no, let her sleep comfortably. Let her sleep comfortably. At least she sleeps comfortably. It's all right. I go through this difficulty. A little bit of tolerance, a little bit of consideration, and how much of our gunas are getting maaf. Our akhirat is becoming right. And really this is that ikram. You know, in the Jama'ah they talk about the fourth point, ikram. And we feel sometimes, in our naivety, that fourth point is only to be practiced when you're out in Jama'ah. Out of Jama'ah, then it's out. No, the more it's supposed to be practiced when we are out, when we are at home. Out we are learning it, but it's supposed to be then done when we are at home. Within the people that are immediate, children, wife, etc., etc. We do it, we practice it. Now, when you come into the house, it's a relief. They don't feel, what's the next move now? What am I supposed to be doing? He mustn't come and blow his top. So the first way Allah Ta'ala blesses you is you die a good death. Generally, you are tolerant and you are compassionate, you are loving towards others. It's not a good thing to mention, but there are women that excelled in this, and they excelled, really excelled. I know of a top alim, I won't mention his name. Top, great alim, very, very great. But by birth, there was no manhood in him, absolutely no manhood. Somehow his parents all got him married, whatever. His wife never disclosed this. On a Friday, like normal, she will do as though everything has happened. She'll take ghusl, clean up everything, and people will feel that everything has happened, everything is normal. Everything is normal. Nobody knows about it. It's just between her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see what tolerance some of these people go through? Imagine her whole life, she didn't disclose, didn't let out the secret of this husband of hers. You see. Now, why won't Allah ta'ala forgive such a woman? Why won't she be then exalted to the highest levels? We feel we are tolerant, but they sometimes, in these things, they surpass us, they go far beyond us. So a little bit of tolerance, a little bit of consideration, a little bit of trying to cope with people. Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Alayh, he was not feeling well. So one Hakim Sahib came across and he said, this type of medication needs to use. So whole type of, some hundreds different type of medication. India, you're talking of the Hakim Dawas, you know, to put into a pot, boil a thing, take that thing. Today, now this must be after Asar, Sunya, before Zohar, 10 minutes before Maghrib. It's a whole, I think the whole day will be only spent in the preparation. Out of respect for the Hakim Sahib, Mawlana took that medication. But that medication had a poison, and it could have caused Mawlana's death. The Hakim Sahib wasn't a professional person, it could have resulted in Mawlana's death. But now look at Mawlana's response. Mawlana's response, when this Hakim Sahib came again, so one of Mawlana's murids, he just opened his eyes. Mawlana said, you dare do this, you're hurting him, you're hurting me. You don't do this at all to him. We are men after all. There must have been a mishap. Moral, respect him, show him the love. And in fact, just to bring up his morale, I want to ask him, alright, what do I do in this type of a sickness? And what should I do here? What should I do there? You see, consideration, respect, tolerance, in every respect, in every respect. And what he does to you. Mawla Abdul Rahim Sahib thereafter was of such a high, his maqam was so high, that the likes of Mawla Thanvi Rahmatullah etc. used to go to him for duas. But there was something that was in this man that brought him to this level. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb.